All right, let's look at the misuses real quickly. Number one, keeping others waiting on them. Here's what happens, especially their family. Families of exhorters can suffer. Because, you see, what happens is an exhorter is willing to spend whatever time is necessary with someone that he's helping see steps of action. He's encouraging somebody. He's helping them learn what they can do to overcome some problems in their life and to get more mature in the Lord. And so if they need the time, man, he's willing to give it because he sees somebody that's growing. And what happens is that can cut into his family time. It can cut into other personal responsibilities. And he just kind of assumes that his family's going to be understanding, you know, that they're going to realize what's going on. And sometimes that goes on for a long time until there's major resentment that comes out because the exhorter has been spending so much time with somebody else trying to help them grow that he's neglected his family. This is kind of like the server. Remember we talked about the server tending to accept too many responsibilities until there's resentment built up in the family because they're doing so many things. Now, they're not necessarily trying to encourage people to grow in the Lord like an exhorter would be, but they're doing other kinds of things, serving and meeting practical needs. Same kind of problem. Number two, looking to themselves for solutions. The idea here is over a period of time, an exhorter has a lot of experience with a lot of different kinds of problems, and he begins to put things in a category too quickly. Somebody comes to him with a problem, and he says, I know where they're coming from. I've seen that before. I know exactly where they're coming from, and I can tell them exactly what to do. And he starts giving an answer before he's heard the whole thing. And so an exhorter needs to learn to listen real well to two people. The person that's talking, make sure you've really heard. Just because they started like somebody else doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to have exactly the same problem. Their problem may be different. And so an exhorter has to learn to sit back and listen to them and also to sit back and listen to God as God speaks and gives him insight. Because if he doesn't, he'll jump to conclusions and make a mistake and give bad counsel. So he needs to be sensitive. Proverbs 18:13, he who answers a matter before he hears it, it's folly and a shame unto him. And exhorters can be guilty of that. Number three, being proud of visible results. Remember I told you pride tends to pop up in all of them when we're not sensitive to God. What happens is this. People sometimes will recognize an exhorter is giving them good counsel. And they say, yeah, that makes sense. And they start doing these things and they start growing in the Lord. They start becoming more what God wants them to be. And an exhorter, if he's not careful, will tend to take credit for that. You know, they listened to me. I gave them counsel. I told them what to do. They did it. Now look, they're doing better. And all of a sudden, they're getting proud. And obviously, that's bad stuff. You know, we've got to constantly remind ourselves, all of us, that if anything good happens, it's God, not us. He may also be tempted, an exhorter can fall into this trap, of being happy and satisfied with external change that doesn't really reflect internal change. The exhorter just wants to see the results, and he sees the external results. He may not be as sensitive as he should be to the fact that there may not be anything going on internally. It may just be an external thing, and that's not good because it's not going to last. So we need to remind ourselves often that anything good comes from the Lord. Number four, exhorters tend to start projects prematurely. They tend to jump into new projects without finishing the old ones. That's another common thing they have with servers. But what happens here is they tend to use projects to try to motivate people to get serious about spiritual growth. And when that seems to start happening, they say, okay, that's done, and they move on to another project. Well, that first project really wasn't finished. There's more to be done, but they're busy now with a new project. And so the people that are in the old projects or all the different projects begin to get frustrated because the exhorter keeps moving on, and forgetting that he started some projects that he's not finished, and that's not good. Number five, treating people as projects, and especially his family. There again, an exhorter lives with people, fellowships with people, and he sees weaknesses. He sees areas where they need to grow. And so he in his mind, he starts saying, you know, if they did this and this and this, they could really conquer some stuff. They could really grow. And it may be true. But when he starts pushing that too hard on the people around him, instead of letting them know he really cares about them as people, you know, he needs to learn from people with the gift of mercy, for example, to be sensitive to people's needs and not just always be pushing them to grow, pushing, because people begin to feel like they're just another project instead of they're a loved person. Number six, sharing private illustrations. I mentioned earlier, an exhorter likes to be transparent. He also likes to use examples from the lives of others that he's experienced and he's seen. And what happens is sometimes he will share something he really shouldn't have shared. You know, something that they didn't expect him to share. They thought it was in privacy, and he just thought, wow, this is a good lesson for everybody to learn from. And so he shares it, and then later says, ooh, I shouldn't have done that, you know, because it's caused resentment, it's caused hurt. We have to be careful there. Number seven, presenting the truth out of balance. And here's where that's coming from. They tend to avoid real heavy doctrinal studies. You know why? They can't see any application. You know, they say, well, that's good, that's true, all right, but I'm wanting to see people grow to be more like Jesus, so I'm going to focus on the applications. And if they're not careful, they'll neglect the doctrinal teaching because they can't see an immediate application of that. And what happens? Well, if they don't study doctrine carefully enough, they can get unbalanced. They can go off in some direction because they haven't been grounded well in good basic doctrine. They can get in trouble. And they need teachers to keep them balanced is what they need. You know, that'll help. And number eight, setting unrealistic goals. I mentioned earlier, exhorters tend to be able to visualize where a person can be. You know, they see a person having problems. They see a person who's not very mature in the Lord, and they can see in their mind's eye, if this person would just do this, 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 and this, they could really grow in the Lord. And maybe they begin to present that to that person or that group. And they present such a glowing expectation of this is what can happen. This is how strong you can be in the Lord. You can do this. That they make it look like it's something that can happen just right away. And the person who's being taught and who's trying to grow and who's trying to apply these steps of action, they get unrealistic expectations. They think, wow, I'm gonna change fast. And then they realize, no, change is taking a long time. You know, the exhorter can say, you just memorize these scriptures right here. Well, memorize these scriptures. I mean, it's going to take me a while to memorize those scriptures, you know. And it's going to take a lot of work, and it's going to take some effort, and you're going to be some going up and going down, and maybe... And so they get frustrated sometimes and disappointed and disillusioned because the exhorter held up maybe too high a goal to be attained too quickly. And exhorters need to be careful. Number nine, giving up on unresponsive people. Exhorters want to see people take God's word and use it. They want to see people apply it. And if an exhorter tries to share God's word with somebody and an application with somebody, and they just kind of don't get into it real quick, he tends to think, well, they're not interested, and he gets frustrated, and he just kind of cuts them off. Which is not good. In fact, exhorters tend to surround themselves with people who respond quickly to steps of action. They like those kind of folks around them. And sometimes that means exhorters like be around a lot of exhorters because they like to see these steps of action and emphasize the spiritual growth. But of course, what's happening is he's missing out on what God's trying to show him about dealing with lots of people in different ways. You know, not everybody's going to respond the same way. Not everybody's going to respond as quickly. And sometimes exhorters need to learn to be patient with people and say, well, God's got a plan for them, but it's just not exactly what I thought it was, you know, and give a little more time and be more sensitive to God showing him other ways of helping people grow and teaching people.